Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our season 2018 primer for the Frio Dockers. So let's have a look first off before we get into 2018 and see what happened to them in 2017. Finished 14th with 8 wins, and fair to say it's a little bit unders.
It is. Frio, one of those teams where, like, when I was doing my ladder predictions, they're the team you slot in last because that's the spot they've got left over when you're pretty sure what everyone's going
to
do.
Well, strangely enough, they finished 14th, and all three of us have picked them to finish 14th again. Only one of two teams we've actually picked.
Yeah,
yep, all okay. The same.
Well, that's wrapped it up. That's the end of the episode.
And that is because everyone else, you got sort of some idea, and three other team where you've got no fucking idea what they're going to do.
Well, 2 years ago, they were minor premiers.
Yeah.
That's where they're at.
But then Russ Lyon came out and said, just need some minor tweaks.
Yeah.
And he did some minor tweaks, and all of a sudden...
Well, they lost Fife, they lost Sanderlands, and they went, you know what, this is fucked, fuck it all.
Yeah.
And they bottomed out for a year. So this year... But you felt like the damage was more than just a 1 year of injuries, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was really... Felt like the game's moved on, and they need to not just tweak their game style, they need to change it.
Yeah.
I feel like it was also a loss of faith.
Maybe it was, yeah.
Ross Lyon, like everyone... A lot of commentary is saying he's the best premiership coach to best coach to not win a premiership.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
There's a lot of retards out there. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. That's like damning with faint praise, isn't it?
I mean,
it's a backhanded compliment if there ever was one.
Yeah. You know, it's fucked. No one wants to be that. No one ever wants to be. I'd rather be a lucky premiership coach than a coach who, you know, may well have done the best with what they had and never got there.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. But it does focus a lot on him. And at the end of the day, you've got to look at the players. And sometimes maybe they're a little bit precious. Maybe they're a little bit downhill skiers. Or, you know, they don't really lose that many players. I mean, they do, but they get a lot more come home.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out the tried and true line that I don't think he's got a plan B.
Yeah.
No.
And I think his plan A
sucks.
Isn't quite good enough.
It's boring.
And it seems like the team is just, I mean, like we were saying, they... Obviously, had some injuries. It was Fife and Sandlands, lots of big players. They've got a huge list of small forward, sort of running, hard running players, and they just didn't know what to do with it. And I mean, I don't want to drop any names, but the Tigers figured out how to do all that stuff.
I was fucking back there again.
Don't worry, I got more.
Every fucking season of you.
So yeah, I just don't know how. Like, he had sort of married to one game plan, and I don't know if they didn't consider it a plan B or if he's just, I don't know. We've got 9 years to figure it out.
Well, let's go through their highlights. What highlights did they have from 2017?
Well, I mean, obviously, once again,
few and far between.
Best win was against the reigning, defending
undisputed
heavyweight champion.
No, they weren't defending at the time. Cause I think you're talking about Richmond, not Bulldogs.
I am talking about Richmond. Yes, I am. Yes,
round 8. Which, let's be honest, giving Frio the credit for that win is very much underselling how well Tigers laid down.
Yeah, exactly. But and also, I mean, Frio did try and match that in the last quarter as well.
It was a shithouse game.
It was terrible.
I was watching it on my phone on the car because we were going to a different game that night.
Yeah.
But there's, a million things the Tigers could have done to win it, and Frio did, enough.
Yeah.
Just enough. But it was a win.
And it's funny, looking, the stats don't tell the whole story because the fourth quarter really evened them up a lot in regards to Richmond's favour, the clearances and inside 50s and things like that. And also, I mean, I've got to mention, Josh Caddy got denied a goal on three-quarter time from Jack Riewoldt Shepherd, which was judge interference. It's a beautiful Shepherd. You know, that's what you do when you're a forward player. I thought they tried their best to lose it. And obviously, I mean, David Mundy just spoils the party for all their draft picks.
Can't win the flag and still complain about shit.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yep, that's it.
I'll tell you, Mundy's putting his hand up for the Ice King, isn't he?
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, you can pretty trust him.
And, I mean,
Ice King? I think over in Freo, that means something else.
Like I say, yeah. Somebody different, wouldn't it?
I mean, we also have had a fair few people kick, you know, goals after Sarah to beat us. So I feel like we're almost, yeah, just sort of the poster boys of last
minute kicks. Nice of him to do it again.
Kicks. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I felt like that was their major win because there wasn't really a whole lot of highlights for their season due to injury as well. And that's the thing. You look at their squad. It's a good squad, and they shouldn't be as bad as they are. Yeah. It seems like it takes a bit of effort to really go that far down the ladder.
Well, they started shithouse too. Like
Was it until round three they got a win over the Bulldogs? Bulldogs was their first win, but they had some shockers.
And even that, I think, was only a narrow win.
Yeah. They had a lot of narrow wins.
I think round four or five was against North, and they only won by a goal there.
That was a shit-ass game too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, some of their wins have come in shit-ass games.
Pretty much all their wins.
Win ugly. You know, it's very much their mantra.
And lose ugly too. Like, just ugly football.
Well, let's go to the lows, because unfortunately for Freo fans, they had lots of them.
Well, it's the West Coast games.
They lost those, but I know where we're going with this. Their highs were round 8 against Richmond. Their lows were round 21 against the Swans and round 22 against Richmond. Especially round 22 against Richmond.
Well, I feel like it's, already gone with the heavyweight title reference. I feel like this was like Kane versus JDS, where the first one, I mean, they came out of the blocks and starched, and the last one was just a complete domination, where Richmond went over to Domain Stadium and just pumped them.
That's it. I mean, losing 2 weeks in a row by over 100 points.
Yeah,
That's shocking. But when you go to Sydney against Sydney, who were rampaging at the time, you know, on such a roll, you go, okay, it's the longest road trip in the country. No worries, all right, we got done. But then Richmond at home.
Yeah, that was terrible.
And I remember watching this game when I was at the bloody restaurant, and there was no reason to cheer for Frio.
Yeah.
You were going, let's just see how big this can get.
They didn't even take the cue out of the rack.
No.
To actually put it back in there. But I actually had their loss against Hawthorn as their worst loss, only because Hawthorn were a team where, I mean, they had something to play for, not something to play for, but they had pride to play for in round 18. Also had draft picks to play for. So, I mean, if you look at the stats, it was Clarko's 300th game as well.
Was it really?
So, obviously, Hawthorn got up for that one. And it was ended up being 15-10 to 7-6. And it was at Domain Stadium.
Again, at home.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you just look at the stats, you'd swear that, I mean, some of the players were paid to lose this game.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the disposals. Hawthorn had it 446 to 356. But clearances were in their favour, 35-23. Centre clearances, 12-8. Stoppages, 23-15. And yet Hawthorn had inside 50s, 49-39. And contested possessions, Freo still won 132-127. So they had all the ball, all the opportunity to put in the forward line.
So first use of the ball and gave it to Hawthorn.
So someone did not get the memo that they were playing for draft picks that day and actually tried their best.
A few midfielders are chasing votes. It was Fife. Must be Fife.
Yeah. And I'm guessing some people were trying to get trades out of Freo for that period.
Well, yeah, that happened.
So I feel like, they need to really update the email list, make sure everyone's on board. Or just, get rid of Ross Lyon.
See, I still think it was the West Coast games that were their lowest point. Like, round six, they lost 103-62, which that wasn't a terrible game in terms of how they played. They were just blasted.
Yeah.
But the worst one was round 17. They were never headed, 44-74, but 5 goals, 14. And of that, they were inside 50s, 57-46. Like, they had the advantage.
Wow. So they nearly had more inside 50s than points.
Yeah. but every other stat, West Coast dropped them. Kicks, marks, disposals, efficiency, everything.
I think they had a spare defender in attack.
Yeah. They even had they won in tackles and everything. Like, they should have been so much better, but for pressure. They couldn't handle it. 14-5 they win, 5-14.
So you're saying playing a loose man in the car park didn't work?
No.
It was an interesting tactic, but it just didn't work out.
And that's one of the heartbreakers for the team. Like, when you're coming in the return leg, in the crosstown rival, you want to show something. You know, you've lost the first round, like, all right, this is our crack. Especially being their home game that time, which, same stadium.
From looking at the internet, their home crowd aren't the most friendly crowd. They're pretty hostile. So
they've been known to.
You wouldn't want to disappoint them too much.
Well, when you're putting a massive fucking penis on the roof, what do you expect's going to happen?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean,
hard to argue against.
And punching women. That's also,
a couple of years ago,
it's a faux pas.
All right, so let's have a look at their list changes then for 2018. They got a couple of ins in Brandon Matera and Nathan Wilson. A couple of lads who are looking to come home. I think Nathan Wilson's probably the better pickup from there. He's a very handy player and got a long leg from GWS.
Yeah. I think Braden Matera is probably better again because he's not going home.
Where's he from?
No, he's from Perth. So
yeah, they're both going home, yes.
Yeah, there's no go-home factor for him.
Oh, right. He's going to stay this time. Yeah. He's coming from Gold Coast, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not a player they need. Like, the small crumbing forward. Yeah. Another one.
Exactly. And when you look at the people that actually come home to Freo or West Coast, who's the best one you think of? Who went there and actually really killed it?
After the come home factor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's hard.
Yeah, Cam McCartney, who. McCartney waited a year.
I got one, and that's a highlight from the year. Bradley Hill.
Yeah, Brad Hill actually did good.
It was his first year at Freo, and he got their best and fairest.
Now Brown.
Yeah. Now Brown.
Yeah. Not sure if he played for Freo. But they get very touchy around who they play for.
He might have played in the Waffle for Freo. I
guarantee he played in the Waffle, just not for Freo.
You're aware we're doing Freo, yeah?
So their outs, though. They got rid of quite a few. So Harley Balick, Nathan Crozier, who I think both got lifelines in the preseason drafts.
Yeah.
Zach Clark, which is interesting.
He was a part-time sort of drop-in, drop-out player.
Yeah, but I've always said he looked like Dr. J.
Yeah,
from 1974. So, without joking, he could go to a basketball game try and look at the NBL now. Which, by the way, I read during the week, Jesse White is actually trying out for the Melbourne United or whatever they're called.
Is
the
NBL. Really? He's probably a fair crack.
Why not?
Wow.
Who else we got here? Ibbotson. Oh, there's a bunch of others. Zach Dawson has put up stumps.
That's terrible news for everybody, including Freo supporters.
Great lad.
Yeah.
He must be a great lad.
He's got to get a media role, surely.
To have a career that long and be that much of a punchline for that long.
Yeah.
He plays a fair games at St Kilda.
Surprised he didn't get picked up at Port Adelaide, to be honest.
Just because.
Yeah, that's just where you send him.
Dear God. He makes Ty Vickery look competent in terms of that.
I think Ty might have played more games this year than Zach Dawson, you know?
Might have done.
Could have.
Yeah. Well, remember one of the famous quotes, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yes.
That was in terms of the Brisbane Lions. From Predator.
From Predator, yes. Yeah.
Another line from that was Jesse Ventura saying, you know, have this, the chew tobacco.
Right.
Turn into a sexual Tyrannosaurus, just like me. I feel like Zach Dawson's more of a sexual Diplodocus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. He seems like he's not quite sure how the fuck, and he's probably going to end up dying out because he can't figure out how to breed.
But again, he was loved by Freo fans. I'm still not sure why. And they will swear black and blue that, oh, you know what, he saved so many games for us, you know, with his spoiling. Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Freo mascot?
No.
No, neither have I. So I'm assuming Zach Dawson's it.
Wasn't the Dick and Balls on top of the stand?
Is it the Waker?
But that's actually news to me. I thought he was just sort of like that, you know, that sort of cousin that's a bit fucking weird, be like, he's funny at Christmas parties, you know what I mean? You got to keep him around.
Rossi Lyon loved him. That's all I can say.
He's the bloke that put the firecracker in his asshole, and you're enjoying that moment, but you're just also waiting for it to blow up and him to get injured.
Yeah, it's like, let's enjoy it before he dies.
I just thought, too, the go-home factor, the best, Peter Bell.
Yeah, Peter Bell, actually.
I'm still dirty on that, get fucked.
Another good one.
That's a long time going back, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, Ben Allen wasn't bad either, but wasn't bad, but he wasn't Peter Bell standard.
I mean, they had Cracker as well. Wasn't so much go-home factor as
go to prison.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the best trades made in recent memory is Lockie Weller, who also exited Freo.
Yeah.
And they sent him to Gold Coast for pick number two.
Yeah.
And like we said on the Gold Coast one, it is literally really a win-win because he's not worth pick number two to any team except Gold Coast because he wants to be there.
Mm.
That's worth pick number two.
Yeah. And getting pick number two. Yeah.
Yeah. So and Freo then go with, they have picks two and four. Or 3 and 5 or something like that after the shuffles. But two high draft picks, you can build a future around that.
Well, yeah, and Gold Coast was after the please don't go home factor.
Exactly, yeah.
And they got that out of there.
And it's just like interesting to see how the recruiting team of Freer will go, where they actually, I mean, what is their game plan? What are they looking at doing and who are they going to pick up?
Every offseason, it does feel like, okay, who wants to come home? All right, we'll take you. And that's their offseason. When they go to the draft, they look at the Waffle first.
Yeah.
If there are 10 players picked up from the Waffle each year, you can guarantee 9 of them are from West Coast and Freo. And it's not because they're closed-minded. It's because they know these guys are going to fuck off if we...
Yeah, yeah.
But I still think there must be something else. Because if you get the opportunity to play alongside someone like Nathan Fyfe,
yeah,
one of the best players to ever pull on boots.
We can ask Shane Yaron about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's because they're not very good at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, there's that as well.
But when you've got, you know, a premier midfielder, like only one, granted,
yep.
But there's plenty of other talent, like Michael Walters. How good is he?
Yeah, Lockie Neal.
Yeah, Lockie Neal's cracking.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then you've got young Hodor coming up.
Yeah, Darcy.
Yeah. He looks like he could be something special.
Yeah, we'll get to him as well. It's all right.
But what I'm saying is that you've got elite-level players there, so much so that if you're a young lad coming up, even if you're from Country Vic or New South Wales, whatever, if they say, look, mate, you can play alongside these blokes,
yeah,
you should be chopping at the bit.
Well,
and if they're not, it's Ross Lyon's fault or it's the bloke who's trying to sign the deals.
Well, it comes down to it, like, where do you go in the draft? Because somebody that goes pick 60... does not care where they go.
Yeah,
they just want to go. But somebody who's a top five pick goes, you know what, I don't mind slipping to 9.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because the worst part is like just when everyone has to go home from your recruitment party and you're like, oh shit, I got nowhere.
Yeah,
no, can I come and like help with that with the plumbing tomorrow? Yeah.
No, I reckon those guys who go to, you know, the lower teams are actually pretty pumped because they know if they're going to a premiership ready team, they're probably not getting in the squad. But if they're in one of the lower teams, they get a lot more game time and they can bump the fuck out of their price once they get out of the rookie contract. I
mean, those lower picks, they don't care. They're on a list.
Yeah.
The other ones, they can pick and choose. Like the famous one was Chad Wingard, who was a top three pick they suggested. Yeah. And he told them all, don't worry about it, mate. The first chance I get, I'm going home to South Australia.
Yeah.
No, he slipped to pick 5 or 6. But you can make those choices when you're higher up. Yeah,
the jury's still out on that one. What's he fucking done?
All right, we'll have a look at the draw for Frio for 2018. So the double ups are West Coast, of course, then Port Adelaide, and then the big three, Essendon, Collingwood and Carlton. That's good for filling out the new stadium.
Yeah.
You got well-supported teams over there.
Yeah.
But Carlton is the easiest out of all those double ups.
Yeah.
And they usually pose a problem for Frio.
I think a big part of that is Cruiser and used to be Casbolt as well. Yeah. In terms of he normally turned it on against them.
But they've got Sanderlands, like if he plays.
Yeah. Well, Sanderlands is a monster, but his gas tank ain't great. He's not running around. And Cruiser,
and I think he's the oldest on the list now.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like between them they have a premiership team. It's just throwing different lines.
Yeah. Actually, might have been this year against Frio where Liam Jones really said made his comeback.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering back, but I can't quite get there.
No, I feel like Frio have a lot of great ingredients, but Sanderlands is not going to be part of the next finals run.
No. Well, like I've said, oldest on their list, and I've got a feeling second oldest in the league now.
Potentially, yeah.
Not bad longevity, really, for a seven-footer when he could have all retired 4 years ago. 4 years ago with his bloody turf toe or whatnot.
Yeah.
But again, he's still that one decent injury away from finishing, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I think Darcy's the bloke they're aiming at. And well, they should.
Well, they've got to now. Because we'll go to, you know, who we're looking for a big year from. And they've put a lot of stock in Darcy because they've lost Griffin and they've lost Clark.
Mm-hmm.
So there's their two other backup rucks. If Sanderlands goes down, it's all on the young lad.
I'm going out and say he's good for it. I think his shoulders can carry it.
I think it's early.
I'm on board. I'm on Team Hodor.
I mean, I don't think you put up solid on him, but I think you have to put that pressure on those young players because they're obviously a couple of years overdue for that little clear out that they needed. Yeah. It was obviously a bit too optimistic, and obviously injuries had their part, but they weren't where they thought they were. Yeah. And so now they're playing catch up. And so you have to get that core structure of young people that are going to stay around, and that's where you build your culture from. And you're looking at playing finals in my opinion, like between 3 and 5 years.
Yeah.
And so you have to build it up from now.
At the moment, they're discordant. Like, you've got to play finals and, you know, make a decent impact, you've got to have the right mix of, you know, your elite players, your journeymen who are playing above, and, you know, youth, experience, all that sort of shit. And I just feel that they've got some great ingredients, but they don't have the right mixture.
Yeah, their oven's fucked. That's what we're saying.
We're running out of analogies somehow. Yeah. But
to me, I mean, this year was all about signing Fyfe, and they signed him.
Yeah,
and they signed him to a massive contract, so he's not going anywhere. Not that I thought he was ever in doubt, but to me, it looks like they've gone right. Fyfe, you're 24 or whatever he is. Let's put a line there. Anybody above Fyfe, you're expendable.
Yeah.
This is where we're going to build from.
Fair enough.
Because you got to make the most of it. Because players like him don't come around very often.
Is Fyfe really only 24?
I know, right? Around that.
Holy shit.
I have to check what the actual number is.
That is ridiculous.
because, you know, they're starting to weed out the other ones, you know?
Yeah.
They got a fucking deal with, what's his name? Maine.
Yeah, with Maine. Yeah, they were amazing to be able to get anything for that. That's definitely a feather in the cap of their recruitment department, which they don't have too many feathers in their cap, let's be honest. It was just mainly picking up whatever they could get with who wanted to come home.
Yeah, exactly.
And figuring out what we're going to do with them. I mean, they've made some great waffle teams.
So who else is in for a big year? We said Darcy. He's got to shoulder a lot of ruck work this year.
Walters, definitely. Like, phenomenal talent.
Yeah. Said last year he needed a big one. He was going to have a big one. And he played okay. He played good.
I think he played exceptionally well for how the team let him play.
He's an All-Australian standard player, though.
Absolutely.
And he didn't get to that standard.
Yeah.
I think he was also trying to play outside his role a fair bit.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a team leader, and he can't be. Like, his position and the best role he can have won't let him lead the team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to find someone who's going to put that sort of around fire. If you need to fill out that sort of midfield, like, do you put Lachie Neal? Is he the one that's going to be that Pendlebury sort of type of player?
He's the accumulator, Lachie Neal, isn't he?
And he's still got that youth about him. So you look at those guys and you put the pressure on them to build that culture in the club. Because something's not right there. Like you said, there's something wrong with that mixture. I feel like he's one that you put that pressure on to see if he can handle it or not. And I think he can. And yeah, just lean on those guys to understand, you know, who's going to be best fit in what position for that team. But yeah, obviously there's no quick fix for that team. So I feel like you're just waiting for someone to put their head above the parapet and say, this is you know, what I'm going to do for the team and this is where we go.
Quick pat check. Fifer's 26.
26, there you go. Ballpark. The other person I think is going to have a massive year for him, again, is Bradley Hill.
Yeah.
You know, he's just pulled out his first, what do you call it, best and fairest. And he's only 23, 24.
Wow. I want him to as well. I think he is one of the players I like watching play. Because Freo, let's be honest, not the most entertaining football. When he's got the ball, I feel like it's worth watching.
Yeah. Like I said, 23, 24, just picked up his first best and fairest. He's got three flags under his belt.
Yeah.
Not a bad. The criticism at Hawthorn was he's soft, he can't tackle. But you know what? Fuck it. Give it out to him and watch him run.
Yeah, he didn't need to tackle Hawthorn.
He can kick a goal.
It was his job.
I don't care. An F1 car can't crash into walls either. Yeah. Just know your role. He's not there to tackle. He's there to fucking motor.
And he, in 2016 at Hawthorn, when the rumours about him moving home, he was playing shit. Then it came out, the mid-season, he had a chat with Ross Lyon. I've spoken to Clarko. He recommended I go have that chat.
Yeah.
He felt comfortable and he played well.
Yeah.
This, in 2017, he was home.
Yeah.
Back home, comfortable all year, played a blinder.
Yeah.
All Australian next year.
Yeah. And especially since there were a lot of people sort of similar in that squad who are vying for that role.
Yep. And he did it better than them.
Yeah. Coming from the outside too.
I almost feel like the worst thing that Freo could do right now is succeed. Simply because if they get the most out of Hill, out of Walters, out of Fife right this season, they bump up the ladder and all of a sudden they're finding it harder to hold on to players because players are wanting more money. They're finding it harder to draft players because they've got higher draft picks.
It's easy enough. There's no money left. Fife is taking it all.
Yep. But I feel like if they do want their initial flag, they need to sort of just, you know, build slightly. So they want to, you know.
I think they're going to be okay because they get the West Australians who want to come home and they'll come home for less money.
Yeah.
Because they want to be home.
And I mean,
now the mining boom's finished.
Yeah, that too.
Tickets to watch at any West Coast game is really expensive. So I feel like Freo aren't really footing the bill for that Fife, you know, contract.
Yeah.
But also that stadium, the new Perth stadium, spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have the eSport World Championships in anything there. And that's going to be offsetting your whatever cost you got. I can't wait to see, you know, Tekken 5 championships going on there.
It's Tekken 7.
You'll be walking home from it too.
Tekken sucks.
So, I think they're the big years. Who's on the outer for them this year? Who's in trouble?
I know who you lined up.
Ross Lyon. Yep, he's done. Get rid of him.
He's still got his contract. I mean,
contracts.
I know this is low-hanging fruit, but I do think that he ain't their premiership coach.
Well, no.
Part of me hopes not too, because I don't like the way he coaches. I know that Freo were a team starved of success, and he gave them, you know, their first piece of silverware, albeit just the minor premiership, but it was something. At least they had a crack.
I just feel like he's trying to win the 2013 premiership.
Yeah.
Do you literally get something from minor premierships? Like, is it a physical trophy or something?
The McClelland Trophy.
Yeah, the fact you've never heard of it says exactly what it's fucking exactly.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. I think you're going to get a small amount of prize money. But that
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I expect, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember St Kilda when they got the
Wizard Cup.
2002 minor premiership or something.
Right.
Might have been around that area. Put out some merch, you know, T-shirts and everything. And then they got spanked in the finals and no one gave a shit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way it works. Like, you can win 8 minor premiers in a row if you don't get the flag from it. Who cares?
Yeah, it's almost like a blight on your...
Yeah,
it's worse.
Yeah.
I did. I thought Ross Lyon, I mean, Ballantyne is in trouble, but that's because he's older than Fife.
Yeah.
And there were rumours that he was trying to go to West Coast over the off-season, but he's hung around for another year. But you got a feeling it's going to be his last year anyway, because that small forward option... I mean,
sport of choice there.
Yeah.
And plus, how long does it take to heal stab wounds anyway?
I'll tell you what, I reckon he's found out, but you got to do it through the heart with him.
With a wooden stake.
With a wooden stake, yeah. But I mean, they've got Brandon Matera now, who's going to play that role a little bit more. But, even with Ballantyne and Walters in the same side, I mean, you'd expect Walters to...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To dominate, and it's not a decision about who gets the go ahead of the other. And I don't like the team with both of them in.
But Ballantyne is the villain. Every team needs their villain.
He's their villain.
He is the unapologetic cunt.
Yeah, and I love him.
I like that too. I quite like the fact that, you know, some players like Chris Judd, he comes across as clean cut and then doing the fucking pressure points.
I don't
know. Chicken wings. And chicken wings and whatnot. And to me, that's dishonest. Like, if you're a cunt, admit it. Yeah. And Ballantyne seems to lean right into it. He's like, yeah, well, I'm the cunt. I'll run with it.
At the same time, he'll go after the cunt on the other team.
He'll target Toby Green. He doesn't give a shit. He'll target Young Bug.
I've turned on Toby Green too. I'm like, I kind of like him now. Like, he's accepted that sort of dick role, and I respect that.
The good little schoolboy haircut helps him.
Yeah, it does.
I like it.
And the fact that he's good. Yeah. I mean, you got to respect that too.
Yeah, play. I mean, I've always liked Ballantyne because he got Matty Scarlett to snot him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
You went after their bastard, and you won.
But everyone he picks on is bigger than him.
Well,
because everyone is bigger than him.
I gotta say, he's not going to go pick on Caleb Daniel. Even he walks up and goes, I can't do it. I just can't.
I like to think they have a beer afterwards. Like Ballantyne, Daniel, no, Green, Bug.
They'd have a creaming soda. Nobody would serve them. They couldn't get a beer.
Imagine we'll walk in. It's like, oh, racing's on in it, lads. Are you on the fourth or the fifth?
Yeah. All right. Like Josh said at the start, no point saying where we reckon they're going to finish because we've all said 14th.
Yeah. I think that's good for them too. I think finishing around that zone is much better for them in the long term than finishing up 8th, 9th.
Well, I think... Ross Lyon is very safe, his massive contract, which he's got another 2 or 3 seasons on, is good because he's going to see the rebuild, and because otherwise, if they needed to play finals this year to save his job, I don't think he's going to do it.
Tough. Yeah. No, I heard there's a decent coach, a brilliant coach actually, that wants to get into Frio, being Brett Heady, and I heard that from Brett Heady.
Right? Did he mention it? Did he?
Well, he's mentioned every other fucking thing he can do, so I'm just, by weight of numbers, I'm assuming that he's put his hand up.
Fair enough.
Maybe Dean Solomon gets to get back at Frio.
Go back as an enforcer.
They got good surf.
Might be any coach gets suspended.
Yeah.
If there were coaches that got suspended, I'm sure Mal Brown's done it. I'm certain he has. All right, so we've all got them treading water on 14th. So that'll do it for Frio.
Yep. So I think enjoy 2018, but look forward to more 2020.
Yep. So yeah, succeed at your own peril. Apparently,
like Josh said, watch the cricket instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye.
Peace. Bye.